In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today an urgent question is before us. A very urgent question that we should be asking of ourselves all the time, daily, hourly, minute by minute. A very important question. And there is only so much time for us to answer this question. In the Christian life, answering something, believing something, means to do. So, this question that we answer is not something that we say once, or twice, or 100 times. It is how we live our life. And the question is posed by the man in the parable, the nameless man, the poor man who thought he was rich. What shall I do? He had lands that produced very well, and he wondered, what shall I do with these things? This is the question that the Lord is posing to us. Because all of us have choices to make, whether we believe so or not, whether we accept it or not, we have choices to make in this life, to do good or to do evil, to have a meaningful life or a life that is meaningless. And really, those are the choices. There is really no in-between ground. We would like to think that there is, but the Lord is showing in this parable there is no in-between ground. There are two ways to think. The rich man thought of himself, what shall I do? I shall tear down my barns, and I shall build bigger ones, and I shall be able to eat, drink, and be merry all my life. This is for me. These are my fruits. He was thinking of himself only. There is not a mention of anyone else. Because all he was thinking of was himself. The Lord gave him a great blessing, which he could have used. What would a Christian say if he had great produce? What shall I do? I shall distribute to the poor. I shall give to others. And if you don't have a great amount of produce, then what shall I do? The Holy Spirit abides within me. I shall live to show that this Spirit is within me, so that others may see that light that is on the table and not under the bushel basket, so that others may also have this great blessing. Two ways to think. You either think of yourself or you think of others. It's very simple. The Christian life is very simple. You think of yourself or you think of others. And if you think that there is an in-between, the Lord is showing very clearly there is not. This man had blessings in this life, but he did not use them to the glory of God. He did not use them for what he was made for. If we are truly made in the image and likeness of God, then we will act like him. If we believe this as Christians, then we will know that within us is this insatiable yearning to be merciful, to think of others, to be kind, to reach out to others, even those that are evil, even those that abuse us. We will know that this is the only thing that brings us peace. Because God, who made us in His image, and therefore made us to be like Him, thinks this way. He causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. He loves all men, even those that don't love Him. It is not so much a law as if it is something written even in stone, as the Ten Commandments were, that we must abide by or we die, that we must love and that we must be kind to others, that we must not commit adultery, honor our father and mother, and all the rest. What it is an absolute necessity because of our nature. And this rich man did not understand that. I've said before, sort of a metaphor. Is it a law that you must eat and drink every day? No. It is a necessity of your nature. So, if we are made in the image and the likeness of God, it is a necessity of our nature that we think of others first. And when we have blessings given to us, we think of how we may distribute these things. And this is not only in material things. This is in prayer for others. This is in kindness to others, especially those kind of people that are a little out of the ordinary, that people don't like so much, that maybe it doesn't do well for our image if we are kind to them. Those kinds of people especially the ones that cannot give back. It is a necessity of our nature. And the rich man did not understand this. He thought his nature was that which will take food and drink and wine and much ease and merriment and dancing and sleeping. He thought that that was his nature, to enjoy material things. And also, to enjoy the power that comes from wealth. We not only like things that are material, but also things sometimes that stroke the ego. And certainly a rich man would have many opportunities to have people show him such deference because he gives donations here and does this there. But he's thinking of himself. You think of yourself or you think of others. And there is only so much time. Because the rich man answers this question, and the next, that very night, his soul is required of him. The Lord comes like a thief in the night. We do not know when we will die. Today? Tomorrow? 10 years from now? 100 years from now? But it's all temporary. Everything we do in this world, none of it lasts, except for one thing. What we become. That's all that lasts. What we become, that's permanent. Whether it be good or bad, whether it be indifferent to the needs of others like this rich man, whether it be full of compassion and love and kindness and warmth, we have a choice that is posed to us through the words of this rich man. What shall I do? And think of ourselves or think of others? Sometimes it's very good to think in strict black and white. Now, much of life is not so black and white. Sometimes we must choose a lesser evil. When there are two evils that we cannot avoid, the fathers talk of things like this. But that's much more advanced and really beyond what this gospel is really speaking of. Simply, we must think of life in terms of choosing good or choosing evil. Of thinking of ourselves or thinking of others. The Lord showed that He thought of others only. The life of the Holy Trinity shows that they always think of one another. Because the Son always is in submission to the Father of His own will. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of the Son. Even God is thinking of another, if you would. The persons of God are thinking of each other. So we, that community, should teach us that we must think in communal terms. Not of ourselves, but of others. This is the only way to be saved. Now, of course, remember that when the gospel speaks of something, or when someone such as myself gives a homily, we put things in simple terms for emphasis. Obviously, there are many things we must do to be saved. But if you distill it down to what it really, what is really important and what comes out of what all these things come from, it is what the Lord said. The law and the prophets is distilled down to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second commandment is like unto it, which here we are hearing of it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love God if you do not love your neighbor. You cannot love God whom you have not seen if you do not love the man, your brother, who you do see. Very simple. Don't complicate it. And look at how dangerous the world is. This rich man was just an indifferent fellow. But that doesn't mean he was a particularly evil or onerous looking person. He certainly had family. He had people that he loved. He had people that he gave his goods to. but on His terms. Only because of what He desired. He didn't think of the world. And the Lord is telling us to think of everybody. This rich man died a pauper and died a stranger. And his soul was taken by the angels away. That is not the death of a Christian. The death of a Christian is when we go to the bosom of God. And we are in the hand of God and no torment can touch us. And the way to obtain this is only by thinking of others. Examine your life. Are there material things? Are there desires that you have? Are there ways that you look at the world, priorities that you have, distractions that you have, that get in the way of you thinking of others? Because we can't love God unless we love others first. The Lord has made that very clear. If there are, look what happened to the rich man. Don't think that this parable applies only to those who have a lot of wealth in terms of material goods. This parable applies to every man because God gives blessings to everyone. Look at how dangerous the world is if you become addicted to it. The rich man thought he was going to live a long life and be happy. He was blinded because he was going to die soon. And how surprised he was. And he had nothing to show God. When the Lord required his soul, later on, at the end, all people will come before God for judgment. And the Lord will say, either I know you or I don't know you. And it will be based upon if he sees that we have burnished his image, his likeness, and made it shiny and good and holy. He's given us, he's made us in his image and likeness, but what have we done with it? He will look at us, and if he recognizes himself by the kind of person we are, by the kind of priorities we have, by whom we care about, and how we answer this question, what shall I do with my life? Then he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if he sees within us that we were really not thinking much of others at all, but really thinking of ourselves, no matter how much we prayed, how much we fasted, we really thought of ourselves first. Then he'll say, I don't know you. What a terrible time that will be for those, and what a surprise it will be for them. Because like the rich man, most people think that they still have long life ahead of them. Your life may be long, it may be short. Make your decision now, and 10 minutes from now, and an hour from now, and a day from now, and 10 years from now, that what shall I do will be, I will think of others. I will follow in the footsteps of my Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, and think of others first and myself second. And I will take whatever goods have been given to me and I will bestow them to others. And I will think of others only. And through this, I will have great happiness. I will have the merriment that the rich man thought he was having. I will have the happiness that he was trying to obtain, because it will be permanent happiness. Because it will be that I have become something good and holy with no darkness in me. Make sure you answer this question. Make sure you think this question all the time. I'm not trying to say that every moment you should be thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do? No, it's deeper than that. It is that our whole life should be so that we think and serve others first. And if we do this, this is the way we obtain happiness. There is no other way. And the Lord has made that very clear, not just in this parable, but in his entire life. May God help us to answer this question well. What shall I do? Amen.